Jasmine, good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us here on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good afternoon. And just to add to your debate, I'm not impressed with Messiah at all. Thank you.
You've got very good taste. What can I tell you? Jasmine, this was quite an important weekend. David and I were discussing the fact that one of the most Googled words on the internet in the past 24 hours has been World War III. This seems to have unsettled a whole lot of people all around the world. What's your take on why did Trump take the most extreme action that he could, and what retaliation do you anticipate?
Okay, first of all, I think for your listeners, I think we just need to step away from social media for a bit and just say, let's analyze this. A war situation, but a world war situation, extremely unlikely. Neither Iran nor the U.S. would like that to happen. But we need to understand how Iran works and how it expands. It is via proxies. If one looks at, for instance, Qasem Soleimani that has been killed, he has taken the lead. But he is not as popular as people would like to believe. He's got a lot of blood on his hands. Be it Syria, be it Iraq, be it Yemen, be it Lebanon. He was powerful within the Iranian government set up in driving their regional expansion.
Yeah.
That cannot be denied.
Yeah.
But why Trump has done this, I think we must be careful to automatically jump to the conclusion it relates to domestic issues. I don't think this will strengthen its hand. But again, it just shows Trump at its level best, looking at the event without looking at the impact and deciding to act. And we must keep in mind that he wanted to make sure that if that hit strikes, there will be no Iraqi officials present. Only Iranian.
Interesting.
And from there on, we see President Trump deciding to go ahead with something that the former presidents could have done, because this guy was not, Soleimani was not living in secret anyway. But that it has made the Middle East and the world more insecure cannot be denied. That it has cemented the United States in the Middle East crisis. Irrespective comments of they want to withdraw, we have crossed that threshold. They cannot do it now anymore.
That's really interesting. That really is interesting, because a month ago, they were talking about extricating themselves from the Middle East, and now they've firmly implanted themselves directly in the middle of it.
They have implanted themselves in the middle. If one looks at the statements being released by the Iraqi government, if one looks at the statements being released by Iran, many statements are being made now, but put it into context and you realize that actually this is all just a show to spread a message that they are not impressed with the attack. At the end of the day, Iraq will not be able to move without the United States. That is a matter of fact. Like it or not, its presence is going to be there, its presence is going to be in Syria. What it has done, and this is my primary concern at this point in time.
Yeah.
If one looks at Al-Qaeda, if one looks at the Islamic State, what are they relying on primarily? Divisions. Shia, Sunni. This oversimplified just by referring Shia, Sunni. What Trump has done now is to play right into their hands, and I'm worried if I make use of a very simple statement, the third dog might just be running away with a bone this time, and it could be the extremist groups.
That's very interesting.
I also have a bit of a question for you. Over the past, since like November, there have been quite a few protests in Tehran against their government. And I just wanted to know, how is that actually playing out? Because you can actually see some of the photos. It seems like people all over Tehran are rallying for this guy's funeral. How does that play into the anti-government sentiment that's in Tehran at the moment?
I think it's going to play a big role. He was not popular, believe it or not, contrary to what social media was trying to portray, not popular in Iran amongst the population because of his history, because of having blood on his hands. even within the Shia community, on grassroots level, not that popular. The Sunni minority, needless, I know, don't even have to refer to. And Iran now sits with a problem. Who is going to replace, although they've already announced a replacement? This guy had full control over about 15 to 18 proxies in Syria and Iraq only. Who is going to do this now?
Jasmine, we need to talk about the retaliation aspect of all this. What choices are open to the regime?
As I've said in the beginning to your listeners, full-scale war, no. What my concern is acceleration, propaganda, that we are going to be seeing, flooding, and inciting attacks by individuals, kidnappings, let's call it more your guerrilla type of warfare, asymmetrical warfare, where Americans and foreigners, and I want to include Australia, being targeted because of this incident by individuals or small groups of cells. That is what we are primarily have to focus on now and see as the major concern that could develop from what we has just happened in the Middle East.
Wow, Jasmine, thank you so much for talking to us about that issue. This is certainly something that we will be following with great interest over the next couple of weeks, each and every one of us. But before we let you go, my colleague wants to ask you about certain events closer to home.
In Mozambique, I remember you gave a statement quite I'm not sure a while ago, but you gave a statement about certain extremist groups that are acting out over there, killing innocent fishing villages and whatnot. I just wanted to know, do South Africans have to worry about this? Is there anything that the government can do about this to stem the flow from Mozambique into South Africa?
May I share some bad news and be open on air with you and your listeners?
Please do.
We are the only government in the world that I know of that is denying the Islamic State in Mozambique, irrespective of 23 claims, of which I have confirmed 18, and a photo report. The insurgency is multi-layered. I give it, we are looking at each cell now independently. But there are cells with direct interaction with the Islamic State, and I'm saying this is matter of fact. Explain to me, sir, how can an intelligence service deny the presence of the Islamic State in Mozambique? And that is the information going to our government. We are going to be caught off guard. I'm telling you now why it's happening. We do not understand the threat. We are not used to this type of threat. We are not dealing with a Renamo type of a war in Mozambique. We are dealing with an insurgency that has gained a momentum where there is simply no pushback factor. In the first incident, already reported, two children beheaded by one of the most vicious groups active in Mozambique. How can we deny this? I'm asking this.
It just seems to me as if the South African government is too scared to actually react, and like they don't want a response from it at all. They just feel like if they ignore it, it'll go away.
Well, I've got some bad news for them. It's not going to go away. We have to look at supply lines from South Africa to these specific cells. We have to start waiting up about Islamic State presence in South Africa. We have to quickly start realizing that we are sitting on the UN Security Council, and to make words such as constructive engagement are meaningless. What steps are we going to take to be able to deal with this matter? Sadly, sir, it is absent.
And Jasmine, that's where we do leave it. As always, thank you so much for your very valuable insights.
I hope I was not too frank, but I think it's important to be honest with you.
It's necessary.
That's exactly what we want from you, the real honest truth. So thank you so much for that. And I have no doubt that we'll be speaking to you sooner rather than later.
I hope so too. I love talking to you guys. Thank you and have a nice day.
Cheers. Thank you.